Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome on into our Treasure Chest Thursday. It is October the 10th. We are inside the Game Bar and Grill inside the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike Dottiglie, Steve Geller, also Luke Augusta hanging out with us. And, of course, in studio, Charlie Long, getting you ready for Thursday Night Football coming up on WWL at 7 p.m., a battle between the surprising Seattle Seahawks and also, I guess you could say, the surprising San Francisco 49ers, an NFC West bout this evening.
You know what that tell you? All this next man up. That don't apply in the sports world.
They got to retire that saying, I feel like.
What? I retired it long ago.
I know. You always say that.
To me.
It depends on who the next man is.
Yeah, the next man ain't nearly as good. Okay. You can't tell me the next cat is as good as Christian McCaffrey or George Kittle or, you know, look all the guys think they got hurt. Come on. That don't apply. That's great in the locker room. That's rah-rah, tis boom, basta. But that don't apply in the real world. And I'm talking about in sports world, also in, other professions too. You can say that, but it's not reality. Thing with Seattle, they come and go on how Geno Smith plays.
Yeah, surprising how he's been.
Good Geno, man, you talk about, and I've said this before about Derek Carr, having watched him at Fresno State and with the Raiders and with the Saints, he's the roller coaster quarterback. It up and down, up and down. Geno Smith's the exact same way. Exact same way.
Got the highs and the
lows.
Man,
you're going to catch some really nice highs, and you're going to catch some really low lows. That's just the way it is.
It's amazing, too. You look at, obviously, all the praise that Brock Purdy was initially getting, and he's had a rough second half of games lately.
Yeah. Well, again, he figured out next man up don't work either.
Right. I need those guys. It's a little bit different in the backfield and the receiving core.
Yeah, because you pay so much attention. If you a defensive coordinator, you pay so much attention to Christian McCaffrey and what he creates beyond just being a running back. They'll put him out in motion, then he becomes another receiver. They'll put him in the slot. He catches the ball. His ability to turn up. Now, that's nothing against Mason, who I think's a good back, but he's a good back in that system
yeah.
and how they have it set up. But he ain't McCaffrey. Okay, because you don't see the residuals of what he does for everybody else. It's the same thing, Kittle's down, and they got, defensive players. I think they have four defensive starters that's not playing. It's no excuse, but
right.
It is reality.
Nobody cares.
Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares, that old country western song. Ain't nobody cares about the injuries you got. You play with what you got. That's just part of college football. Professional football, there's no moral victories. Okay, that's all great and fine for high school, you know.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda,
yeah,
right?
And even your son don't believe that moral victory
no,
stuff. Because he want to win. But for some, we played them close. We played a good team. It's close. Take that. Man, what? I want to win.
All that counts, right? Like in the win column, what's it saying? And in the loss column. And hopefully, you're going to come out ahead more than not.
Yeah. But again, W's and L do count.
It does
make a difference on that thing. But, man, the Saints injury list
right, talking about injuries,
pretty
good segue. Looking at things today, the initial injury report came out yesterday, but it was an estimation because it was just a walkthrough. Today the Saints did go through a full practice and not practicing, though, for the black and gold. Still Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz, Derek Carr, not surprising there, dealing with the oblique injury. As we know, Spencer Rattler's been named the starter for Sunday. Also, Lucas Patrick, Will Harris, and Pete Werner did not practice. Limited, Peyton Turner, Alvin Kamara, Rashid Shaheed upgraded from a do not practice to limited today. And then good news, Willie Gay with his hand issue went from limited, now a full go today. And also Kendra Miller back-to-back. And I think also last Friday he had was a full go practice. So three straight practices of Kendra Miller being a full go practice dealing with that hamstring issue as he works his way back. Boy, oh boy, we haven't heard a peep about him since training camp, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say he needs to step up, but he ain't even done that. Okay.
Any steps are positive for him
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, anything, because you need him now. You don't want to wear, and you keep using Alvin Kamara the way they're using him. Man, he ain't going to last 17 games in this league. It's just not. So you hoping that Kendra Miller can step in and become a solid number two guy. It's obvious that they're not giving the football to Jamal as a runner. Do
maybe
really
two touches a game.
With three touches? You know, come on. Do they trust him at this point that he can be a solid back? That's why you spend a third-round pick on a guy, he ain't hit a lick other than maybe that last game last year against the Falcons. Bobby always tell me about that. Okay, what happened to other games? You know, you got to count them, too.
It seemed like it was a positive building block, obviously ending last season. And, okay, let's see what this goes, you know, carries it over into his sophomore season. But we just haven't seen that surge yet.
Because if you watched him and the few times we've been able to see him, say in the OTA session, can't say about training camp because he didn't miss
right.
basically two of them. But, man, he's got some talent. He's got some ability. Now it's can you stay healthy and can you be consistent with your performance? And, you know, Deuce said it best in the offseason about this is a growth for him, not only physically getting his body ready for 17 games, but also the mental part of the game. You got to know what you're doing. I'm not putting you in there if you know it there's 50% of the time. No, you got to know what you're doing all the time out on the field. It's part of this game. Because we get it a lot with Tommy. Oh, football is football. I played junior high school football or high school. What? Junior high and high school? Come on, you can't compare that to professional football. They play with the same sort of ball, but that's about it. But they got people that actually believe that.
With the injury report, too, Mike, obviously back-to-back days, still not seeing Taysom Hill. That kind of hurts this squad because you feel like he means so much to this offense.
Yeah, Taysom's not playing in this game. The other thing that jumps out at me, Lucas Patrick and Cesar Ruiz.
Right. Still that big patchwork offensive line going on.
So you got a new one again Sunday.
And we know Shane Lemieux was put on injured reserve.
Yeah. Well, that didn't surprise me. We talked about that in the offseason. And Deuce laughed when I said it. Man, I know.
He's good for a couple snaps in that match.
He's going to play a little while, and he's going to get hurt. It's consistent. I can't tell you why, having done this over almost 40 years now, that certain players, once the injury bug starts to hit them, it's almost like hitting over one domino to strike another. It's not that Shane Lemieux can't play. It's he can't stay healthy.
Can't stay on the
so,
field.
You know, the best, you know, ability is availability. With him, he's just not available.
Looking with Alvin Kamara, nice to see him upgraded to limited from a do-not practice. I thought it was curious yesterday I mentioned this, was dealing with a hip and rib issue, and now it's listed as a hip and hand injury for Alvin. So don't know when that occurred last game, obviously in that matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs, but apparently dinged up his hand there. Hopefully it's nothing too serious when it affects his ability to carry the football.
And the one thing you can't say, man, he's a tough guy. Man, Alvin Kamara's a tough dude out there. And, you know, they've given him the two full buckets of water to carry as a runner and a receiver. Now, I think a lot of people were kind of down on, you know, Olave because what it was, four targets and a couple catches against Kansas City. But look who he was going up against.
Exactly, McDuffie. Right.
Trent does that to a lot of people. Trent McDuffie's one of the best cover cornerbacks in the NFL. And the one thing you can say about the Bucs, if they got a weakness, it's that corner. I want to go back to the injury report. What happened with Antoine Winfield? What is he listed as today?
Limited today with that foot issue.
Oh, see, that ain't good because more than likely Antoine Winfield's going to play. It makes a difference. And I guarantee you that the Falcons would not have got into range for a field goal if Antoine Winfield was on that field. Last Thursday.
Right.
And Antoine Winfield, he's one of the best defensive backs and certainly one of the best safeties in the National Football League. And, man, he patrols that middle. He gets his hand on a lot of would-be receptions, either to knock it down or pick it off.
We're at the Treasure Chest Casino here till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football comes on. Come on and make a bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook right next to us here at the Bar and Grill. Also, we've got plenty of action on the floor and plenty of food here, having a delicious pulled pork sandwich. Mike's got
the shrimp po' boy. Man, it's really good.
Luke's got some wings, so we got a whole smorgasbord of goodness here. We're going to come back with more sports talk after the break. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are live from the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill as we get ready for Thursday Night Football this evening. We'll be in Seattle against San Francisco. You can hear that, obviously, WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. Or stop by the Treasure Chest, place a bet on the game, hang out with us at the Game Bar and Grill with the television screens all around us, do some gambling, get some grub, plenty to do at the Treasure Chest. Plenty of parking, too, makes it so nice and easy.
Oh, man, that's awesome. It's much better than before when you have to take the little bus. I
missed those days.
What?
I wasn't around.
Oh, yeah. You take the bus. You go to the little stop. They catch you in the bus, and then they bring you to the casino, and then they bring you back.
coming up on our show after the next break, we're going to be talking to the Buccaneers, Lockdown Buccaneers host, and James Yarko, talking about this matchup coming up against the 3-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, huge matchup. The Saints have dropped their last three. They are 1-1 in divisional play, and you don't want to fall too behind the rest of the pack right now. And you got Atlanta and Tampa Bay at 3-2. So a critical matchup against the Bucs. Want to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Mike, hanging on with us right now, Carol in La Place wants to sound off. What you got for us today, Carol?
Hey, you guys, Steve and Mike. Listen, I know Mike's gotten a lot of accolades, but I want to give Steve an accolade, man. I really enjoy listening to you, Steve. You seem very knowledgeable.
Appreciate you, Carol. You are now instantly the best caller of the day.
Put you on top of the list. He put you on top of the list. No, Steve deserves it. No, I'll be honest with you. I agree with you.
Well, anyway, I was wanting to talk about the offensive line again. We've known since training camp and when training camp ended that we needed offensive linemen. 31 other teams cut offensive linemen, and we didn't pick up a one of them. I mean, come on. There had to be one or two of those guys that were pretty good that we could have signed, and we didn't. Who's responsible for this?
That falls on the lap of the head coach. Okay, that's Dennis Allen's baby there. Because he controls that 53. He works with Mickey Loomis on who he wants on the team, who they can get in, that sort of thing contractually. But that really falls into the lap of Dennis Allen, okay? Because he's got to push this. And my beef has always been, when you're going to run that type offense, you need extra running backs, extra linemen. I agree with you totally on that. But if you're asking who this balls down to, it comes down to Dennis Allen, the head coach.
Yeah, I feel like they dressed it, obviously, in the draft with Taliese Fuaga. But other than that, no real –
you needed more than that.
Right, no real pursuit in free agency. When you knew a guy like James Hurst wasn't going to be back in the mix, you were letting Andres Pete out the door as well. There was no attempt to re-sign him. So, you know, the depth at that position, not just even who was going to be starting, the depth was a concern for the season as well.
Yeah, you picked up Connor McGovern last week.
He was going on a plane.
And all of a sudden, hey, kid, get in there. I say kid, he's 31 years old. Get in there, big vet, and play. He ended up playing a ton of plays. And so I agree with you. And also, too, they had hooked their caboose, so to speak, to Nick Saldivari at guard. Man, he got beat like a drum against the Chiefs.
He got yanked pretty quick.
Oh, my goodness. They pulled him quick, and they put Lucas Patrick at left guard, and Connor came in and was playing center. So, again, that didn't work out for him. But really, in that sort of deal, when you look at that roster, that really boils down to the head coach.
Thank you to our most knowledgeable and expert caller that we have, Carol.
Steve said you can call back anytime after 6 o'clock.
We're going to go back into that Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And, of course, we got Jimmy on the line. What you got today, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Look, I'm calling in about the Spencer Rattler phenomenon, not since Elvis Presley as the fan base been so excited. I feel like this is the second coming of Elvis here. And I know we got to keep this in perspective here. And I'm not throwing Hayner out. I know a lot of fans are like, you know, but you know, with Rattler having that experience at Oklahoma and having the experience last year with a porous offensive line, Mike, you've said it before that South Carolina had a really, you know, similar offensive line, you know, considering to the Saints being on the run. Of course, the results weren't there, but, you know, the experience, and I'm not surprised that with this offensive line, Carr took on an injury early on in the season, and when he gets back, it could have happened again, of course, but to have three, and I said this in the summertime to you guys, I said we need three active quarterbacks because the chances are all three might play with this offensive line. I just, for the people who want Hayner, I know he had one more year of experience. When you consider, again, that he played at Fresno State and Washington, I don't think that was the level of speed that Rattler saw at Oklahoma and South Carolina coming at him. Again, I think, like you see with Jaden Daniels, having played quarterback in the SEC, the speed, the ability to transfer from playing in the SEC to the NFL has been easier because he saw speed in the SEC. And I just, listen, I'm excited. There is going to be a learning curve. We all have to realize that, whether it's Hayner or Rattler. But I do think that there's potential here that Rattler could be the long-term solution. I just want to listen for all, and for me included here, for the people who do want Hayner, Mike, break it down to us real quick, what Hayner's career was like in college. And, you know, like kind of give us, because a lot of us saw Spencer Rattler play at Oklahoma on big, you know, on the big stations, you know, as a casual college football fan. But tell us a little bit more about Hayner, because all we've really seen of him is in the preseason. Tell us a little bit more about his background.
Yeah, he's not the biggest guy in the world. Bobby always says we could sneak him into a high school game, and nobody would kind of challenge that. He was really good, short, intermediate, very accurate passer. He was not considered a runner, but neither was Spencer. People have labeled him a runner. He didn't run all around. Now, he has mobility east and west, better than Hayner. But he wasn't considered a runner. Now, he was running for his life last year because of South Carolina's offensive line, which was so bad. But Jake was a really good, short, intermediate, kind of eat you up and kind of beat you with 1,000 cuts. I'm just telling you, Jimmy, when you watch him throw a ball, and we didn't go to the summer training camp, but in watching the OTAs and the organized practice sessions and everything else, the ball just came out different. And he can spin it. And Spencer's not the biggest guy in the world either. But, boy, is he got a rifle on him. And he can put a ball in tight spaces. One of the things he's going to have to be a little careful with, not say a little, he's going to have to be careful with, is not trying to put a ball somewhere like you maybe could in college, because you're going to get it picked off in the NFL. But you can tell he's a much more grounded young man than he was, say, at Oklahoma, or even coming out of high school. And, that, man, that series they did on him didn't do him any good. You know, come
it
on,
just
you,
thinks that's a lasting yeah, impression yeah, you have 16, as a 17-year-old
kid. Right. You're going to do dumb things and say dumb things. Not everybody's perfect in this world. But, man, he is really something, spinning the rock. You can tell the big difference for me, I think Spencer is a little bit better improvisational on the move, where Hayner is more of a step up in the pocket type guy. And secondly, arm talent.
Definitely stands out. Very,
man,
you just know it's like that ball was thrown by Spencer.
No, Bobby and I watched him the first time when he was throwing the football. If we looked at one another, whoa.
Right.
He got some arm talent. Not, you know, I saw him at Oklahoma, saw him at South Carolina. But to see him on a field,
right.
You know, you get a field, man, he can spin the rock now. Now, it's up to him, make the right decisions, throw it downfield.
We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino at the Game Bar and Grill. I want you to stop by here till 7 o'clock. Going to take a break. When we get back, talking some Tampa Bay Buccaneers with James Yarko of the Locked On Bucs podcast. So stay tuned right here on WWO. We'll be back right after this break.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are here, Treasure Chest Thursday, inside the Game Bar and Grill. Happy to welcome in now James Yarko, Locked On Bucks podcast host. James, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
James, you made out okay with everything storm-wise?
Yeah, I'm actually not located in that area, so I am completely safe. But a lot of my, you know, obviously my friends, my colleagues, a lot of people were in the path, and it seems like everybody came out, you know, safe and you know, have some damage to deal with, but everybody seems to be okay. So yeah, a scary situation down there for sure. But it looks like, you know, things aren't quite as bad as maybe they thought.
Well, God bless y'all in that area, because it's been a constant the last couple of weeks. My first question would be about Antoine Winfield, because I think that Buccaneer defense is totally different with him and without him. Now, he's been limited in practice, but if he plays, he's a difference maker out on that field for the Bucs.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I've been saying it all week. You know, the return of Antoine Winfield Jr. and then potentially looks like the return of Kalijah Kancey at the same time. It changes everything that Todd Bowles can do with this defense. You know, Antoine Winfield Jr. is the everything guy for the defense. He can play in man. He can play in zone. He can play in the box against the run. He can blitz. He does everything at an elite level. But then if you also have Kalijah Kancey there, Logan Hall has come on strong the last couple weeks. He has as many sacks in the last two games as he had in his career up to that point. So he's becoming a legitimate threat. And if you add Kalijah Kancey, you have three legitimate pass rush threats across the defensive line now against an injured and less than 100% Saints offensive line, which obviously plays right into Todd Bowles' hands. But yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Antoine Winfield Jr. opens up everything for what Todd Bowles is able to do with that defense, because he's able to utilize Antoine in so many different ways.
He's a special player out on the field. And yeah, he works out in the offseason with a friend of mine. So I told him, I said, Antoine, here's the worst part of things. I scouted your dad when he came out of Ohio State. He just laughed. He said, well, since you've been doing this for a while, I guess, huh? Because his dad played 14 seasons in the NFL. But, boy, is he a chip off the old block. I mean, from an intelligence standpoint, his ability to put himself in a position to make a play, and also to communicate with other people on the field where they should be. He knows what to do, and he gets everybody else to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's that back-end leader, right? It's almost shades of the late 90s, early 2000s Buccaneers, where you had Sapp up front, Brooks in the middle, and John Lynch on the back end. Well, now you have Vita up front. You have Levante in the middle. You have Antoine in the back. And those guys really orchestrate everything. They are the coaches on the field. They're the leaders. They're the ones making sure everybody knows what's going on. Everybody's in the right position. And you know, it's a big loss when you don't have that guy on the back end of your defense for 4 weeks. You know, and he got hurt on the next to last play in week one. So it was an absolutely brutal loss. And I will say Jordan Whitehead has been fantastic for the Bucks this year. Antoine was really excited that he came back. He's played really well. And then Christian Isian, in Antoine's absence, has played well. It may not seem like that, you know, all the time because of games like Thursday where Kirk Cousins goes for over 500, but that wasn't entirely on the secondary. But yeah, it's such a huge boost in terms of what Bowles can do, and then just the level of talent and the leadership that you get out on the field with Antoine Winfield Jr. It's really going to, you know, energize that entire defense.
One of the things that's happened over the past couple of weeks with the Saints have been teams have been able to run the football on them. We saw Kareem Hunt. Okay, 2.5 weeks ago, he was sitting at the house waiting for a phone call to come in. He rushed for over 100 yards. You guys got kind of a dual backfield here. We know a lot about Rashad White.
But then Bucky Irvin, I saw him play so much at Oregon. He had a costly fumble last week, but, man, he is quick as a hiccup, and that initial step up the field is fast. That is something the Bucks, I think, are trying to help Baker a little bit here in not putting it all on him. That ability to run the football, the Saints have been susceptible. We saw the Eagles do it. We saw Kansas City do it. They were able to run the football against this football team.
Yeah, and you know, Bucky's opportunities have grown week by week because of what he's been able to do on the football field. And you're right. You know, he's a one cut and then two steps and he's at full speed kind of guy. He has incredible vision, especially for a rookie running back. And he's able to hit much smaller running lanes than Rashad is. And I don't know if it's the quickness, if it's the vision, but he seems to be able to kind of work his way through heavy traffic at the line and then pop out on the other side and take a 1 or 2 yard gain and turn it into 5 or 6. Now, you know, even though the Saints have been susceptible to the run, you know, the Bucks have had some offensive line issues. Luke Getteke still has not cleared concussion protocol. He suffered a concussion in week one, and now rookie center Graham Barton, 2 days in a row, he did not participate in practice with a hamstring injury. You know, he now looks to be in danger of missing this game. Robert Hainsey, of course, would step in and start at center, and he has plenty of starting experience. But Graham Barton is a different animal. And, you know, although he's had a couple of rookie mistakes here and there, he is an absolute monster in the middle of that line. So that's going to play into whether or not the Bucks can open up some running lanes, and it's going to play into the protection for Baker Mayfield. When this offensive line is healthy, they're a pretty impressive unit. They're much better than what we saw from the Buccaneers last year. But if you're missing your starting center, your first-round draft pick, you're missing your starting right tackle, things can get a little shaky.
Well, look, don't feel like you the lone guy in the crowd. The Saints got issues, too, all across the offensive line. Your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? Not a lot of people would have thought once he signed with the Bucs, he would have this sort of run. And you see the maturing factor in Baker.
For sure.
And, man, his ability, he's so accurate. He moves around a little bit east and west. And every once in a while, he'll take off running with the football. But it's his coordination with Mike Evans that is so impressive, and that they've been able to hook up on a lot of big plays. Your thoughts on the growth mentally and physically, so to speak, and playing into what's best for him in Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Baker has been just an absolute breath of fresh air in Tampa. And, of course, you go from Tom Brady, and anybody that steps in for Brady isn't going to live up to Brady because he's the greatest to ever do it. But Baker coming in and not letting that kind of overshadow what he's able to do, he wasn't trying to be Tom. He was just going to come in and be Baker, and he played really well last year. And then you bring in Liam Cohen, who he already had some familiarity with, and they've been able to start to build a rapport. And now all of a sudden, this is an offense that can put up 30 points in any given game. They can go toe-to-toe with the best in the league if it comes to a shootout. And you know, top 10 in passing yards, top 3 in touchdowns and passer rating and completion percentage. Yeah, he's on another level right now, and it seems like he and Liam Cohen kind of get a little bit better every week. So I don't even think we've reached the peak of what Baker is going to be able to accomplish on this team and with Liam Cohen as his offensive coordinator. Yeah, he and Mike obviously built a great rapport last year. Godwin is now getting far more involved than he was last year, and things are just really clicking for this offense, and it's because Baker he's one of the best in the NFL at pre-snap reads, and he's putting the offense in the best position to get a positive play. You're right. I mean, he really has matured. He really is. He's a lot of fun, you know, in the locker room, on the field, everything. He's a fun guy to be around. And these players just gravitated towards him as a leader and someone that they really enjoy playing football with.
James, looking at the tight end Cade Otten for this group. The Saints have had a lot of issues with keeping the tight end corralled. Dallas Goedert, Travis Kelce, although I guess a lot of people could say that with Kelce. What can we expect out of a guy like Cade Otten in this matchup against the Saints D?
Probably similar to what you've seen the last couple of weeks as he's started to get more involved in the offense. He's going to have a small handful of targets, a couple of catches, probably be a target on third down one or two times throughout the game, move the chains, keep the drive going. But it's really been, it's been Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, Godwin just came out of the gates and exploded. He's been the third down machine, you know, to move the sticks. Evans is scoring touchdowns and getting his big plays. So I'm not sure how much Otten will be utilized. You're probably looking at 6-7 targets and then, you know, 4 or 5 receptions for, you know, 30 to 40 yards and a couple of first downs. I don't think he's going to be a major part of the game plan, especially if Jalen McMillan is able to come back and the Bucs really get their wide receiver three back. And then you also have Sterling Shepard, who has stepped up the last couple of games, played great against Philadelphia after Trey Palmer went out with a concussion, scores a touchdown against Atlanta. He had a great game there. So, you know, Otten will be, he'll be utilized, but not heavily.
James, definitely appreciate the time and glad it all is well by you, and hope you enjoy game day.
Thank you, James.
All right. I appreciate James, you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, brother.
James Yarko, the Locked on Bucs podcast. You can check out more of his work there if you want to get some more inside info on those Tampa Bay Bucs getting ready for that noon kickoff Sunday on WWL and, of course, the Odyssey app. We're going to take a break and close out the 4 o'clock hour right after this at the Treasure Chest Casino right here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back here to the Treasure Chest Casino, a special edition of Sports Talk every Thursday. Me and Mike Dettillier here hanging out with you until 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football takes over, and we'll be placing our bets on tonight's game between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know. I'm definitely feeling an under in this matchup, that's for sure.
Yeah, that it might be the bet to go, Steve. But a lot of people told me they bet, man, they want the 49ers to win. I had a few people come walk over. They 49ers all the way.
Yeah,
the game. We'll see.
We'll see what happens in the matchup. Obviously, they've been struggling with a bunch of injuries. I think everybody has right now. It's just so strange to see this hit around the NFL.
I'll be honest, in all my years doing this, it's the most injuries I've ever seen this early in the season.
Back with more Sports Talk right after news.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.